Welcome to the Quick Take on Money Life, where we try to get little reactions to things that are in the news that need maybe a little bit of explanation and more. And what was in the news on Tuesday was that the Federal Reserve stepped up and cut interest rates by 50 basis points, which is a big cut. And in response, the market went in the tank. And yeah, that's not exactly what you would expect. Here to discuss that and what could happen next, Doug Roberts. He's chief investment strategist at Channel Capital Research. He's the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. You can learn more at channelcapitalresearch.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. Doug Roberts, great to have you back on Money Life.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Chuck.
I think I can sum this one up and ask this question in a pretty simple, straightforward way. I mean, we saw a big rate cut, and the market responded with an 800-point drop.
What in the name of all things bright and beautiful is going on?
There it is.
It responded there, but initially it popped up first, and then basically it dropped toward the end of the day.
But what is going on that wound up being the response? I mean, we truly would have expected that this was what the market wanted. I have to say, that reaction makes me more nervous now than I ever would have been if the Fed had just sat tight until the 18th of March, which is what I was hoping was going to happen.
Essentially, that was it. But I think what the Fed did is when initially the market started to go down and gave up the big up Monday at the beginning of the day, they didn't want to take a chance that they would be in a reactive mode. So they kind of decided to do it initially first. Again, it goes back to what I've previously described as the Fedocratic Oath. You know, sometimes when you're faced with a variety of unpleasant alternatives, you take the least worst alternative, which does the least amount of damage to the market. And the Fed assumed that this was it, because if all of a sudden the market had started to go down massively and they were forced to do a rate cut, they would look to be reactive, and that would be a problem. The big issue why it went up and then went down is initially the reason why it went up is I think a lot of people were covering their shorts. And then at that point, you still have a lot of people who aren't willing to commit to buying because there's a substantial amount of uncertainty. So we don't really know anything. The only positive thing about basically the Tuesday market move, and we have to see how that resolves today, is it didn't kind of go and break down the lows from before that we had experienced last week. It basically gave up a lot of yesterday's gains.
I was a little surprised that they went as big as they did, because I would have thought they wanted to keep a little powder dry to see what was going to happen next. I also would have liked to have seen a move that I felt was completely and abjectly apolitical. Did you feel that there was politics in this at all?
In essence, there's always politics. If you look forward, if you look back, irregardless of who the president is, Democrat or Republican, Fed chairmen generally like to keep their jobs. And this is especially true when a president is up for re-election. If you go back on the other side of the equation with Barack Obama, coincidentally, there was another big round of quantitative easing 90 days before the re-election of Barack Obama. You could say that possibly could have been coincidental, but more likely to be political. And that's been the pattern that we've seen with Fed chairmen, you know, as long as I can remember.
So what do you believe is next?
Right now, I think we have to focus on a couple of different things. Some of it's going to be fiscal. And again, by fiscal, it could also be political. You know, certain things really not in our control, which is really China. You know, the transparency is somewhat limited there. But the real question is are they going to be able to start to bring some of the factories back online? That would go to a large amount of resolving some uncertainty. The interesting thing is basically Trump's trade rhetoric actually kind of helped prepare some of these plans, because people weren't really sure that there was going to be this interim trade agreement. So they were starting to look at alternative sourcing. But we're also seeing they were starting to look at it, but they weren't really far along with it. Now they're going to start to look even further along with it as well. And as that starts to resolve itself one way or the other, whether China goes back online and we start to come up with alternative sources, again, uncertainty starts to remove itself. With regard to the rate cut, I think the reason that they did such a large rate cut is if you look at it, where basically the 10-year yield on treasuries is trading, and they almost had to do that to make themselves relevant and to basically match what was happening in the markets. And they didn't want to cause a crash where they would have to sit there and kind of go even more extensively too. So there's a certain amount going on there. And then the other big question, which we really don't know, is essentially the mortality rate of this. Everybody's been saying it's 2%, possibly 1%. But then again, we don't really trust a lot of the data out of China. You know, one infectious disease specialist was mentioning, if you look at Korea, which is a much more transparent and sophisticated situation, it could be somewhere around 0.4, 0.5, which is still bad, but at the same time, it's much closer to a really bad version of the flu. The other thing that we really don't know and is pertinent, does this thing behave like the flu? The coronavirus is in some way, you know, the other versions of the coronavirus were very, very similar to the flu in the sense if this warm weather that we've been experiencing lately, at least here in New York, continues, then typically colds, flu, everything starts to go down, and there's also extreme preventative measures. Here in New York, they're even talking about cleaning the subway on a regular basis. So the question is some of the countermeasures. Now, the big thing politically, which, you know, could be a countermeasure if none of the above work, is there going to be a stimulus package? Maybe this infrastructure package that they've always talked about on both sides and blaming the other one for not getting it through, is that going to actually happen? Because neither side wants to be blamed. But either way, what you're talking about is a rocky road over the next couple of weeks, possibly couple of months, until we get some of these issues are resolved. And what you may find is people are bopping up, but unless there are events occurring that kind of given them confidence, which initially on Tuesday was the initial reaction of the rate cut, but it didn't give them enough confidence. So some of these things are going to have to play themselves out. You know, I've done an analogy that I believe, you know, 2020 is a little bit like 1996. In some ways, it's the similar uncertainty that we had, except it wasn't the coronavirus back then. It was in 1996, the beginning of the emerging markets crisis, and that, you know, continued on and off for the next couple of years.
Well, Doug, it's great stuff. I appreciate you taking the time out to chat with us, and we'll talk again. That's Doug Roberts, everybody. He is Chief Investment Strategist at Channel Capital Research. Get more information at channelcapitalresearch.com, on Twitter at Doug S. Roberts. The Market Call is next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.